music.
We have some feed there, brother man, Mike, the wonderful board op. Yeah.
Yeah.
Chicka, chicka, chicka.
Yeah.
Now.
Wow. Wow.
Thousand
yeah.
episodes.
Woof, woof.
We're still working things out.
A good way to go.
There.
Yeah.
Episodes over 1,000.
Episodes. Yeah. This is it, right here.
This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 420 degrees Fahrenheit, baby, to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it? Is it working? Is it working, y'all? Can you feel that spirit of the fiends?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
just
probably
a little
feel
bit.
Better if it was a little bit lower.
Can you feel it now?
I can feel it now.
The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. I can't help it.
You're a poser.
Orgy on the mind.
I've been in an orgy. Alright. So.
Is that in the bingo? Michael being in an orgy?
No, it should be. I haven't talked about it much lately, but Diana keeps bringing it up. So, yeah, I'll talk about it. All right.
1,000th episode. Wow.
Yeah, 1,000 Freedom Fiends.
Yeah. So, speaking of orgies, we have a ton of people here. How many people we got right now?
Let's chime off. All right.
Chime off. Okay.
So, the ladies first. Who we got?
Diana, Kyler, the Laughing Giddy.
Yeah.
All right. This is Michael Dean. The theme, Michael Dean. Go ahead, everybody else.
And now for the men.
This is Nima, the Platinum Ayatollah. How y'all doing?
Wow.
This is Lou Sanders, the Chop Rooster.
And Hugo here, the Jed Cockatoo from down on the just the Bravo, Rio Bravo. Grande? Well, some of those rivers.
Rio Bravo was a movie. It was a what was that?
That was
one.
Oh, yeah.
That was one of the Larry McMurtry ones.
Sure. I'm here too. That's right. Yeah. Murder Dog here in New York. Stan. Should probably announce myself, shouldn't I?
Oh yeah, I'm here.
Murder
too.
Human.
Awesome.
So what's up, y'all?
F2K. F2K. hope you got your water and toilet paper. Or F1K. F1K.
Oh, I was going to say, what is that? To F2K? No. It's F1K.
Well, it's F2K. It's Freedom Fiends. FF.
Yes. Oh, yes, true. Yes, yes.
So, that's what you're going
F-squared
for, right?
F2K.
Right.
Yeah. I think we're all good, except Nima could turn down about 5 or 10%.
You just told me to turn up. Okay.
I don't know.
Here we go.
It's all
good. Don't listen to anybody.
So this is Freedom Fiends 1,000th. Episode, and there are some fiends that couldn't be with us tonight. Let's pour a 40 on the floor. Let's pour a 40 a crocodile on the floor for the fiends that couldn't be here tonight. They're not dead. They just asleep. They just couldn't make it. So we actually have some MP3s because some of them phoned it in. Let's see. We got something from Nick. You know, speaking of Nick, has anybody seen Jungle Book, the new movie?
I still haven't seen it. I really wanted to. Okay. Yeah, it looks really good.
I never really liked the book as a kid. I don't care. Did you see it, Hugo? You saw it? The animation is amazing. It's like they've gotten past the Uncanny Valley. You guys know what the Uncanny Valley is? It's I actually know it because they talk about it in porn on 30 Rock. But it's the idea that that as animation gets more human-like, you know, at first, like, it looks like almost intentionally unhuman. Like, you know, you think about, I don't know.
Like Dire Straits.
Money
for nothing.
Right.
Oh, right. Yeah. Or maybe what's another example, like from a movie, like something that, or they do bugs, you know, or cars. Cause like people, if you make them, like they couldn't do people yet, you know, when they started doing computer animation, it's all about computer animation. So the Uncanny Valley. So there reaches a point where there's a drop in how likable things are. And then they pass that and get hyper realistic to where it's cool again and doesn't scare you. But the Uncanny Valley, at least for animals, has been passed with this movie. Like the animals in this movie look hyper real, and it's all green screened with an actual kid, you know, the kid Mowgli, which is what I'm calling Nick Hazelton now, Mowgli. He is a kid who hangs out amongst the animals, and there are some water buffalo-y looking yak things at one point stampeding in this movie.
So no more Mowgli.
I call my daughter Lily the light-skinned Mowgli.
Oh, nice.
She's kind of got a Mowgli look to her.
Well, because Persians and Indians are the same.
We're similar.
Sort of.
In the same way that we're all Aryans.
Continent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. They're just east.
Yeah. Yeah.
Way to collectivize them, Michael.
I know.
They're basically the same. All those Orientals.
Well, I stopped. I heard some comedian talking about, like, wouldn't it be great if you could trade your grandparents in for a 2.0 version? Like, you know, you get the 2.0 version and the new one never says the N word. And it's like, does he still say Oriental? Yeah, he still says Oriental. We're still working on that. That'll be in the next version. Speaking of new versions, check out, so Cell 411.
Talking what? About Nick so, again?
Yeah, no. No. Hey, he talks new to the virgins? Animals. I'm just going to leave it at that. So, I see Randy England is on the site listening. I know he's going to come in later. So, Cell 411, which is this great... It's this great free app for Android and iOS, you know, for iPhones that... it's free, and it basically replaces the police. It could also replace... I don't, at this point, I'd probably use it to call friends instead of the police for sure. But
of course.
I think I'd still call 911 for a medical emergency just because I don't have any friends nearby that are trained medical professionals with, you know, life-saving equipment. But
makes sense.
You know, if you know a nurse, maybe you could call the nurse instead of the ambulance that's going to bring the police that'll kill you. So Cell 411 just came out with a panic button, which sounds scary and horrible, but it's actually wonderful.
It's like a life alert.
Yeah, it's like a life alert. It's kind of like the, I've fallen and I can't get up. But now it's way
cheaper. I've been kidnapped and I can't get away.
Yeah, it's way cheaper and it doesn't have to go through. I'm pretty sure that the I've fallen and I can't get up has to go through. It has to have a landline?
Yeah,
really? I think so.
Wow. Yeah. From what I remember, yeah.
And it has to go through, like, their service. Like, you know, it goes to them. They try to call you, and if you can't respond, they eventually send, you know, probably EMTs, police, and a fire truck and charge you for it all. But this is, like, $25, man. And it's like, you can wear it in the shower. It's water-resistant. You can wear it as either, like, a clip-on on your collar, or you could wear it. It comes with a watch kind of thing. You can wear it as a watch, or you can wear it as a pendant around your neck. And it's, and you can't, it's hard to accidentally trigger because you have to push it for like 5 seconds and you preset it to set to any friends you want to send them an alert. And it's pretty darn cool. It'd be especially useful, I think, for, if you had an elderly family member who lived kind of nearby, it'd be great for that. Yeah, if there was someone that could use a phone, you know, but it's $24.95. It's on the getcell411.com site. And I got one to test and it's great. It's pretty amazing, man.
How did you test it?
How do you test something like that?
You pair it, you know, it's Bluetooth. You have to like hold it down. It has instructions. It's very easy. You need the latest version of Cell 11. It doesn't work with previous versions, Cell 411. But you basically hold, you know, like go into Cell 411, press the panic button on the main screen. It says, do you want to issue an alert or do you want to add a device? You want to add a device. Then you add a device, and then you could go into the settings of that device and say which of your cells it alerts. And they, like if you wanted it to only alert one person, you know, you'd set up a cell that's just that one person, even if they're in other cells with several people.
So you just set like your wife up and said, hey, I'm going to test this out.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, that's exactly
what I did.
Yeah.
Yep. So check it out.
Awesome. It's great.
And another announcement here, blackblock.com, BlackBlock.com.
That's racist.
Who sell all of the, it's actually leftist anarchist, but they're great.
Even worse.
They make the best capitalists often. They sell our merch. They sell the Fiend's flags and the surgical masks and all sorts of fun stuff. But they now take not only Bitcoin, but also Ethereum and Monero.
Oh, nice. So
check it out. BlackBLOK.com.
Yeah, cool.
So, Nima.
Right on.
Yeah.
Who would have thunk we'd done 1,000 episodes, man?
You and I started. Jeez, I mean, you did most of 5 years ago. Congratulations. But yeah, who would have thunk 5 years ago that the Freedom Fiends would hit? You were worried we were going to pod fade. Like, you were like, man, don't pod fade on me. Like, when we started this whole thing.
You know what? Because pod fading, for people who don't know, is a kind of hilarious term for a real thing that's less hilarious, but still kind of funny if it's not you. It's where you have a podcast and you start doing, like, I'm going to do it every day or every other day. And then you, like, after a while, you're doing it every other day. Then you're doing it once a week. Then you're doing it once a month. Then you stop doing it. That's what about 95% of podcasts that start do. You know, podcasts
this
that can make it
past pod faded. We started with one episode a week.
I know.
And then we did two, and then we did three, and then
four live
I
ones
left, and yeah, and you took it live. Well, I guess we took it live first.
Sometimes five live ones, but yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy, yeah, man. So everybody no got the memo, right, that y'all have the packets I sent you to mix into the Kool-Aid, that this is the last episode? The Freedom Fiend Suicide.
I didn't get that one. Can you give me instructions live on air?
I sent it.
Or is that conspiracy?
Is it gluten free? That's all I need to know.
It's gluten free suicide powder.
That's going to be in the Fiends Out of Context. Right,
so you don't have a reaction as you're.
What was the Fiends Out of Context?
I hope it's not GMO.
We got to put this in the show of the thing that was really funny and worthy of a Fiends Out of Context, but was before the show started. So
Diana's obsession with Nima's little thingy.
Read it into the congressional record. She didn't say little thingy.
No, I didn't remember say that little part thingy. Of it. No, no I just said
we're on Fiend phone and we have more people than we usually have, like six or seven, and it, you know, it pushes down each person's name when more people add. Right. So, Nima, what did you say, Diana?
I said, there's so many fiends on Fiendpo right now. I can't see Nima's little, or no, I didn't say little thing. Yes, I can't see Nima's thingy at the bottom.
Yeah. Yep.
Or something like that.
There you
I
go.
Can't scroll down and see Nima's thingy. That's what I said.
That's what you said. Yeah. Get it straight.
We'll be back with some
that's what she said.
In. Some people who followed again who didn't want to be here tonight. All right, friends.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
Johnny Five, alive!
Speaking of fiends, you got the fiend behind the scene here. Say hi, DJ.
Hello, everybody.
Hi, DJ.
Hey, DJ.
Congratulations on 1,000 episodes.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yep.
Oh, God. Get a room.
During the next break, or during the top of the hour, she's going to do some medical procedures on me. I'm, it's not.
Whoa.
Not fun. Dealing with my toe fungus. I mean, come on, it's not a freedom fiend.
Is that what you're calling it these days?
Yes.
I was gonna say, is she gonna pop some pimples on your back or something?
No. Kids are calling it. Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
Grandpa kind of things. And I recently declared that only I'm allowed to make grandpa jokes about me. But so I recently got a pill minder. You guys know what pill minders are?
Yeah.
One of those things. Yes. It's like a calendar that you put your Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday morning and evening pills in. Because I accidentally took my blood pressure medicine twice in one day and nearly died.
Ooh.
So,
oh my goodness.
That's not good.
So I got a pill minder, and I also recently got one of those little handheld LED illuminated magnifying glasses, reading glasses, you know, for like reading the fine print on the pills. So I now have two things in my home that are like some of my earliest memories of my grandparents have.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Yep. There you go. It'll happen to you, kids. Ha 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 ha. Speaking of kids.
Only hope.
Speaking of kids, young Lou has to go soon. So Lou, talk. Go ahead. Worms. Yeah.
Oh, well, I am very, very happy to be a part of the Freedom Fiends family. I've been on since since the nighttime show started back when it was MDAD.
Yeah. You went from the audience to the drum riser.
Yeah. 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 I started off as like the admin for the Facebook page.
You started off as a fan, just listening.
Yeah, you were a caller. Okay,
yeah.
You were one of our first callers.
There you go.
Yeah, I was, as a matter of fact. But it's funny because the Freedom Fiends was my very first podcast ever. So, Nima, Michael, you got my podcast purity.
Oh, wow.
Whatever you want to call it. Yeah. You're
welcome. Yeah, so, we took calls long enough to get Lou, and then we stopped taking calls.
Mission accomplished.
But also I was the admin for the Facebook page, and then you asked me to be a blogger, and you said, go ahead, write whatever you want. Just don't write anything that would get us droned. And I'm pretty sure that worked out properly.
Yeah.
And then, and then, when the nighttime show started and Nima went into fatherhood retirement, I got called up from the farm team. You know, it's kind of like that Cheech and Chong bit where he goes and hangs out and loiters in front of the pharmacy all day long, and then finally by the end of summer he gets a job keeping people from loitering in front of the pharmacy. So that's kind of how I became a fiend, and I'm very proud of my contributions, and I've really enjoyed working with all of you, and I've even recruited a couple.
Yep. Yeah. Wow.
This is true. That would be one of those couple.
Yeah.
It's very well said.
Yeah.
Worm. Became a fiend by hanging out in front of the farms.
Yeah, but anyway, I love you guys.
I love you too.
I love my fiend fam.
Love you, Lou.
You're fiend fam.
Squad goals. Squawk goals.
We need a hashtag squawk goals.
Yeah. Well, cool. So there's some people that couldn't be here today. God, it sounds like I'm talking about dead people. No, I'm talking about people that are probably listening, but just couldn't be on the show for one reason or another. So I want to make fun of Derek J for not being here. Derek J thinks I'm too hard on him, but, you know. Gee, you were saying so hard on the beaver last night, Michael. Well, yeah. I gave him poop because he reviewed the cell 411 button. He got a test or two of the actual unit to review. You know, because we're cool. We get stuff to review because we're cool. So we review it, and people listen to our suggestions, go out and buy things based on what we do, and we don't get paid. We just like to do this. So I made fun of Derek J because he did a great video review of the cell 411 button, of unboxing it and trying it on different places, clipping it on, using it as a watch. And I realized at the end of it, I'm like, wait, he never actually like paired it with his phone. You know, it was such a good video. Yeah, he just did the fashion review of it, and I gave him hell about it. And it turns out like he's on iPhone, and the iPhone update to make it work didn't come out till a couple days after the Android one. So I paired mine. He wasn't able to yet, but he didn't say that in it. I just think he should have said it in it. You know, it was basically like, well, I'm going to review this fashion. Why do I sound like, who is that? That's like,
oh. That's your Lottie Poo voice. That is.
I know you're talking about.
Shaggy. Yeah.
Shaggy. It's somebody from Shaggy. Yeah. If it weren't for those meddling kids, I would have gotten away with stealing all these yaks. Yeah. All right. But he also like wrote me and said, I'd love to be there, can't be there, also can't record anything. And I'm like, you're writing this on your phone. You could record it on your phone and email it to me, Derek. All right. Review the fashion of the phone.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
The Freedom Fiends now have a free app for your Android phone, tablet, phablet, or other chromed robot turd, available now from the Google Play Store, Amazon, and FreedomFiends.com. Lovingly handcrafted by head hamster Michael W. Dean, the artisanal Freedom Fiends radio app allows you to listen live, keep up with the podcast, chat directly with other fiends, get discounts on bigger buttons, brainwash yourself with a 24/7 random episode, and so much more. You know the Freedom Fiends is the best libertarian radio show in the world, but when the fiends aren't live, you can use the app to listen to LRN.FM from anywhere. The Freedom Fiends radio app is like having a virtual libertarian re-education camp in your pocket. It's your gateway to the exclusive, high-demand group that is the Freedom Fiends. Install the Freedom Fiends radio Android app today. It's free, and of course, it's covered by the BIPCOT no government license. Tell two friends, review it on Google Play and Amazon, prepare for the inevitable death of terrestrial radio, and get ready for LibPair with the Freedom Fiends radio app for Android. Worms. Worms.
So, you're talking about Derek J?
Yeah. I saw a written review that he did for the Cell 411 thing about the panic button.
Yeah.
And as far as accessories goes, he rated it absolutely fabulous and says it's the perfect thing, the perfect accessory for his cargo shorts, which he's secretly been wearing everywhere.
Oh, my God.
Nice. I hope he takes the bait.
He's been in denial about wearing cargo shorts for all this time, and he tries not to get caught, but...
Outright hostility toward them.
When no one else is looking, he stands in front of the mirror, and his kink is like, see, he's secretly a preppy.
I have the documents.
Yuppie, sorry.
A dad.
I have the documents.
A hetero dad. That's his kink.
Yeah.
That's his, speaking of, people's drag voice. So who has the thing that MK Lords phoned in? She didn't even phone it in. She wrote it in. Who has this? Nima has it. I sent it to Nima. You got it, Nima?
Oh,
Yeah, not off the top. In what?
When did you send it? Just now? I got it.
So MK Lords, Nima's going to read it in the voice of MK Lords drag persona, which is she's a drag king. In secret at night, she goes out dressed as a man in bars, and her drag character is named Florida Man. So Nima, please read MK Lord's submission in the voice of Florida Man.
Florida Man? Oh man, MK Lord's as Florida Man. This kind of put me on the spot. Okay. I'm sorry I couldn't be on the air tonight. Down in the swamp, battling gators, the Fiends have played a huge role in my life, and I'm super grateful for the opportunity Michael gave me. Being on the Fiends taught me to speak up like I'm on the radio. That calling a crackhead is safer than calling the cops. And to never trust a man, bad audio. Happy 1,000th episode. I miss you all like hell, and I hope you keep on fiending on. P.S. Nice. The worms don't reel until you put them on the blockchain.
Worms aren't real until you put them on the blockchain.
Was that MK or Nick? It could go either way.
I know.
I mean, have you ever seen him in the same place?
At Porkfest, weren't they? But I wasn't there, so I don't know.
Yeah. Have you ever seen him? Was the question. So
No. I've not. So yeah, I think you're right.
When was that?
Yeah, what was that?
I think we have a visitor.
That was an alert.
Special guest.
Are you on alert? You should be on alert, is what that's saying.
Was it your life alert?
I heard it. Doesn't mean that I'm alert enough.
Michael, did you push the button for calling the crackhead on
Well, you could,
your
but
crackhead
that would,
has
that
arrived, sir.
To call a crackhead when you're in trouble with cell 411.
Jenkins.
The problem is, it would mean you would have to buy a Android phone or iPhone for the crackhead. And how long do you think the crackhead would keep? I guess you'd have to keep paying the crackhead to not sell the phone.
Or you could pay him one crack.
Of those, oh, but you know, I was going to say you could get him one of those really cheap phones, but they won't work with cell phone. You have to have GPS for cell phone.
Not a burner phone, right?
Or you could get the new iPhone.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've heard no headphone jack
or something.
Something
weird with that.
Yeah. Well, then I'm sure the crackhead could take it apart and like somehow wire. They'd break it.
You cannot use it.
Hey there, guys. This is Nick Hazelton, the anarcho yakitalist, aka the hazy yak, aka the dear Mowgli. Sweet yak emperor, calling into the 1,000th episode of the Freedom Fiends. It's been a while. The show has been running for years. I started listening a long time back, and I really got my start with the Fiends, and it's been a big part of my life for the last, I guess, four or more years. Many of you already know the story of how I came to understanding the philosophy of liberty and starting my own projects like my farm and my podcast, so I won't tell it again. But this show and everybody on it has been a blessing in my life for a long time, and they've all been great help in my journey to where I am today. I wouldn't be here without y'all. So I look forward to another 100 episodes. Thank you, Michael, the other co-hosts, and our listeners for their services. Worms.
Mowgli. Aww. Too loud.
AKA Punk Worms. Juvenile Delinquent. Yeah.
He said that he hopes it'll be on for another 100 episodes.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
100? Totally gives us.
That's what he said.
He hopes he'll get another 100.
I heard 1,000.
He's predicting the demise.
Well, you know, that's the point. That he's,
I think he's just
he knows something we don't know.
I think he's just projecting because his own podcast pod faded. Oh, so I think that's it? What it is. Oh, yeah, he announced that the last time he was on. He said he pretty much just pod faded.
Listen to him. I'm kidding. Well,
didn't he say he's on hiatus and he's going to be coming back soon?
That's the classic pod-faded excuse. Yeah.
I didn't hear that. Yeah. I could have swore the last time I was on the air with him, he said that he kind of just...
No, there was a post about somebody that he had previously interviewed, and she is going to be his first guest when the new season starts.
That's good.
Mm, yeah. He should jump-start it with a debate with Lou. He should do a debate with Lou on whether or not he's the sweet deer yak emperor or he's a juvenile punk delinquent.
Sour
yak emperor.
Sweet and sour he said yak.
Who shall moderate said debate?
The effect of, like, you know, when I came to liberty. He kind of paused or took a breath when he said came to and liberty. And I think that should be the term for coming to liberty is I came to.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
that's, that's like an AA thing too.
The Negroes like me say he's hella woke.
Hella woke.
It's the thing, right, Nima?
He's hella came. Yeah, you can do that.
Why are you asking Nima? Like, why would Nima know more than anyone else?
Because Nima's down on the street. Because he's a wedding.
That's racist.
Okay.
Yeah. Speaking of the wedding singer, remember in the movie Wedding Singer, Alexis Arquette played a Boy George impersonator.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, she passed.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that was awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not awesome that she died.
Want to hurt me?
She is, you know, if you want to, here's a bingo. She is in my Selby movie because she was in Last Exit to Brooklyn with you know, by Hubert Sobey Jr., the movie made from the book he wrote. And he was on the set at, of Last Exit to Brooklyn. It's very rare for the writer of the book something's based on to be invited to the set, but Selby was invited to the set for Last Exit to Brooklyn and for Requiem for a Dream. It's very rare because usually the writer like wants to meddle in the director's vision and directors all think they're gods, but they respected Selby so much they brought him. And Alexis Arquette is really fun. She's really funny. She used to be a dude. Now she was, I guess a trans woman is how you say it these days, politically correctly. I don't know.
Yes.
I don't want to get in trouble, but,
yeah.
She was not the least talented. I'm not going to make a talent, valuation, but of all the Arquette, the whole Arquette family, like they all act.
Yeah.
She's probably the least, like has been in the least movies people have heard of. And I think it's because she's too sassy and fabulous, because here's what she said in the interview. And I went to her house and interviewed her for an hour, and I was alone with her for an hour. Not like, I was alone with her for an hour. Like, it was cool. Like, I actually hung out at her very cool, weird, spacey, kind of like hippie, fabulous. Her house just had Christmas lights everywhere. It was like, that was the lighting in her house. And, you know, she had like weird mannequins with things painted on them. And it was a cool, it reminded me of a San Francisco house, even though it was in LA. So I hung out with her for an hour, interviewed her for the movie. We used some of the clips in it. And one of the things she said, I don't know if we used this in the movie or not, but she said something like, yeah, I spent more time taking direction and listening to stories from Selby than I spent listening to the director on that film.
Oh, wow.
Which is like not how you get hired in a lot of movies, but it's how you win my heart. and like a few things she was in, if people don't know. So she was, She's in The Wedding Singer, played the Boy George. She was in Last Exit to Brooklyn, played a cross-dresser whose mother was like ashamed of her cross-dressing, and his brother tried to beat her up for it, named Georgie. A speed freak cross-dresser, like kind of gutter hustler in Brooklyn in the 50s. In the 50s, when that was not easy to do. And then she played the role most people probably know of her. It's as a dude. It's in Pulp Fiction. She's the one that comes out of the bathroom blasting with the giant revolver and misses them with six shots. And then what's his name starts like talking about how it's an act of God, kills him, and then talks about how it's an act of God. You guys remember that scene?
I remember that.
Oh, yeah.
That's
yeah.
the same person.
I remember the guy.
Really? Yeah, that's amazing.
And the first thing she was in was when she was like 11 years old. She's like a little 11-year-old boy with a crew cut. This is kind of funny. I've seen this video a million times. I had no idea till today this was her. The band The Tubes. Anybody remember The Tubes?
Yep. She's a beauty.
Talk to you later.
A beauty. Yeah, in the video, she's a beauty. He's the kid like being trapped by the dominatrix on the little cart going through the ride. Maybe that's what did it. I don't know.
Yeah, seriously.
Anyway, makes you wonder.
It can make you go either way, probably.
She was cool. It's cool to meet her. And she died.
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace, man.
Yeah.
Rest in peace.
All right. So let's play Chandler's. Yeah. Let's play Dobby's thing. Dobby's thing's funny. Here we go.
Oh, yay. Yeah. Dobby.
We'll play them all. But here we go.
Does he swear on this one?
Hey, guys. This is Dobby Barker. And you are.
That's Ben Stone.
All right. Hey, guys. This is Dobby Barker. And what's the name of the show again?
Freedom Fiends.
That's right, guys. You are listening to the Freedom Fiends, committed to bad audio as always. So keep, I don't know.
1,000 shows.
1,000 shows. Woo! Meow!
Word!
That's a wrap.
Let's print that one.
Let's
that's gotta great. Be it.
That's it.
Gotta be
it's gold. Audio gold.
Yeah.
All right. Hey guys, I'm gonna be gone in the next segment, so I just wanted to tell you a bit about the legacy of the Fiends for me.
Yeah,
I got turned on to cats because of you guys. I started listening
tasty,
to the show
they?
And I didn't have any cats, so I was a really bad anarchist because I didn't have a cat, and I thought I was allergic. Aww. But you know, there's a cure for that. No, I think there's a cure. It's a loving kitty coming into your door and. You know, you taking care of him, actually my first cat. So thank you, Fiends, because you showed me what cats are for and how liberty always
That's
comes
great.
With cats.
I didn't know that about you. That's amazing.
That's awesome.
Dear Hugo.
Yeah.
Thanks, Hugo. Worms.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
And there existed stickers. They used to not exist. Now they exist.
That's funny. DJ, how do you like the Fiend stickers on our coffee pot?
They're gorgeous.
Yes. What do they say?
State speech is hate speech. And BIPCOT.org.
Yeah, and people can get them by going to freedomfiends.com and clicking on the new link at the top. It says stickers. And there will be more designs. So check back regularly. Catch them all.
Worms.
Yeah. Say that on the Fiends. Yeah. This ain't no radio, this the Fiends.
Yeah, but also like and also as I was saying, focus on the family's also here too. So that's why. I was just talking about like that with
well,
the
they
yeah.
should get a lot of F's in their name.
I know.
Don't like F's. Although they like F's if they create more kids. Right.
They're like F's if they create F's.
But yeah,
F's
I was just talking during the break checks. About the fact that because I live in Colorado Springs and recreational weed is not legally sold here within the city limits of Colorado Springs. But you go right outside Colorado Springs to Manitou Springs and it's like, woohoo. Yeah.
Is it like Wyoming where like you leave Utah and come into Wyoming and you cross the border and there's a huge driveway there and a parking lot and there's like 4 porno stores and 3 fireworks stores.
And liquor stores.
It's almost like that. It's funny because there's really not that many, like, there's only, as far as I know, there's only 2, maybe 3
that weed, you know, pot shops close by. But when I say close by, I mean like in Manitou Springs. I'm not aware of any others in like, you know, little towns.
Springs.
Manitou Springs. Yes. No. But then like,
you know, I gotta say, like that whole thing about the people in Utah probably think it's really square that, and like want to do something like pass laws to prevent their you know, young 20 somethings, 21 somethings from driving
across the border
to get,
right,
porno,
they want to build
magazines,
a wall,
fireworks and real liquor. And I'm kind of thinking like, that's a square party, man. Porno, magazines, liquor and fireworks, like
that's pretty square.
You,
yeah,
might as well be like rolling out a George Bush Mission Accomplished flag behind that party.
A George Bush missionary accomplished.
Oh, I saw that. What was that? I saw that. Oh, Family Guy. American Dad. That's an American Dad thing. That's the Stan has that banner over his bed.
Mission accomplished.
Really?
Yeah.
Which Stan ends up being really
nice,
kinky.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, missionary, okay, accomplished. Got you.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's how it starts. Is like his dissatisfied wife, and he's rolling down the missionary accomplished, and she's like, do you have to pull that? Do you have to use that? And he's like, well, we did pay $8,000 for it. Okay. So we're going to play a couple more of these fiends phoning it in. All right. So here's Chandler.
Well, yeah. Shaking my fellow freedom fiends.
Ooh, echo.
This is Reverb. Chandler, the jabbering coon cat. Godlike. Hammering and stammering at you from the northern reaches of New England. So happy 1,000th episode. I think it's safe to say we've reached a milestone in radio and podcast.
Yes, 1,000 episodes.
As we continue to laugh while Western civilization collapses. So,
nice.
Just want to say thanks to Michael, Nima, all my fellow fiends. It's been awesome. And I'm still waiting for those aliens in the Alpha Centauri region to come down and give us their anti-state technology. So,
nice.
Here's to freedom and another 1,000 episodes.
Here.
Love you guys.
Yeah.
Worms.
Nice.
Worms. That was trippy.
So spacey. Yeah.
You know,
I felt stoned listening to that.
You
it's
know,
not
I
a milestone.
What the, I figured out
milestone.
No, it's a kilometer stone. 1,000.
That sounds like a disease. That sounds like something you have to pass.
That don't sound very American to me.
Yeah.
Kilometer stone.
We don't do that here.
So I figured out what the anti-state technology is that Alpha Centauri is going to bring. Just go watch the Johnny Depp movie Transcendence.
No.
Anybody seen that?
I've seen that. No. Yeah.
No, I refuse.
I haven't seen it. Is that good?
No, is there anti-state technology in it?
Yeah, Johnny Depp is a weirdo, man. Well,
if I could grab some
government, the federal government is the enemy and basically causes the end of what, like declines Western civilization overnight.
It's a documentary.
That's what I was going
to
say.
By trying to stop his technology. It's basically just nanobots and quantum computers and uploading your brain to the Borg. But the problem is, He doesn't get it all in one swoop like we will from Alpha Centauri. So the government has time to kind of marshal against him before he's fully done. But
I just had like some residual statism pop up.
I'm sorry.
Oh no.
My system.
We'll experience occasional flare ups.
statism reflux.
Next episode,
disease.
We're gonna play Ben Stone phoning it in, so you can feel calmed by that. He's everyone's liberty sponsor.
There's two types of countries, those that use the metric system and those that have been to the moon.
Where is that from? Did you just make that up?
You must have heard it in his past life.
Although I think Russia uses the metric system and they've sent something to the moon.
Did they?
That's where Snowden's hiding out.
A ham and a plaque.
He's either on the moon or Uranus.
All right, we'll be back after I get my toe fungus taken care of. Worms.
Ugh, I'm so sick of looking at Steve's wedding pics, and I'm all out of passive-aggressive comments. What else am I supposed to do at work all day?
Sick of stalking your ex on Facebook?
Yeah!
Are you all out of cute cats and autocorrect mishaps to lolat?
Duh!
Freedom Fiends to the rescue! The Fiends now have a blog. Read all about the latest tyranny today. Dream about lip pair. Laugh while Western civilization collapses. Just click on the cat icon to the right of freedomfiends.com. Freedom Fiends blog. Read it!
Say Lou. I won't read it.
Where?
Find out. Find out.
The NSA knows.
Yeah, you're the only part of the government that actually listens. Now, are you doing the intro?
You want me? Okay, I'll do it.
Yeah.
All right. This is hour two of the Freedom Fiends broadcasting through the Libertarian Re-Education Center's low orbit ion cannon, high atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org.
All right. Who's bringing in the cat effect? That was
about
great.
Scheduling. That email? Lou?
What's that?
Checking email on air now?
The email was about scheduling, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. This is the Freedom Fiends where it used to be Facebook on the air. Now it's just email on the air. We just emails. Yeah, Lou. Okay. I'll do that. That's good. That's all good. So, this is Freedom Feeds 1000th episode. We got Randy England joining us here. How you doing, Randy England?
Michael, congratulations to you and to Nima. Is Nima still here? Are you there,
I'm
Nima?
Still here.
See, yeah, Nima's still here. And, you know, this it's been so long. I don't know when this started. I've only been around maybe around about as long as Lou since it was, what, After Dark?
Michael Dean After Dark.
I don't even remember why. Did you change that so Nick's mom would let him stay up late enough for the show? I don't know. But yeah. I mean, 1,000 shows, that's a lot. I mean, that goes back before both of our colonoscopies.
Yeah.
You know, before Nick's voice changed, huh?
Yeah. Because of a colonoscopy.
Ouch.
Oh my God, Liz.
But it was one of those, like, you know, unlicensed, unregulated ones that you buy for Bitcoin at Porkfest, right?
Porkfest colonoscopy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Terranulupo just converted one of his chiropractic devices.
That's a colon cleanse. Now, what is that thing called? Like when you get flushed out from the butt?
Well, you kind of do a colon cleanse before you do a colonoscopy.
That's true.
Come on, man. Don't make the people over 50 sound like we're over 90. Stop. Just stop. All right.
I thought it was funny. It was good. Hey, well, time. Thank you.
I had my colonoscopy at 45.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
So speaking of the elder fiends, I'm gonna play something here from Ben Stone, who couldn't be here
today. Did he have his?
No, he's not dead. I mean, whenever I say, like, oh, there's some fiends who couldn't be here today. No, say it in somber tones. Ben's asleep. He's fine. He'll be up in like 3 hours. He's no longer with us. He's no longer with us. He's asleep. He'll be up in a few hours. All right, here we go. So, Ben Stone.
Hey, fiends. This is Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker, wishing Michael W. Dean and all the Freedom Fiends a happy 1,000th show. I can't believe we did 1,000 shows without being droned. That proves government doesn't know what they're doing.
Worms. Nice.
Awesome.
Here, Ben.
Yep. Ben's good. Yeah. Ben was an important part of my path to liberty. I think Nima too, maybe.
Oh, that's, yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
I was a huge fan.
Me
one
too.
Of the OG fans.
Me too. Yeah.
I remember when you first introduced me to Ben. You said, "I like the way this guy talks." And I was like, "Okay, I guess that's cool." But I was hooked after the first episode. Like first 10 minutes or something, I was like, "Man, this guy's he talks so slow." But then I realized that, you know, it was because everything was so packed full of useful
you had to
stuff.
Think about it.
Yeah, you had to think about it. So he was going at the appropriate pace. And, man, love Ben. Love that guy.
Yeah.
You know, actually, I think before that, you listened to a bunch of podcasts before that, a bunch of Liberty stuff.
Yeah.
But I think you listened based purely on content without a whole lot of thought about the person's voice and maybe even their audio quality. Is that possible? Like, you listen to Lou Rockwell podcasts, and he has an annoying voice, and his audio quality can be okay, but it's often horrible.
Yeah. In the early days, it wasn't bad. I think he bought some new gear.
Tom Woods, his audio is good now, but his hosts often sound horrible.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
you listened to Tom Woods before I met you, didn't you, Nima?
I still listen. I'm still a daily Tom Woods listener. Yeah. And yeah,
he
you're right.
His horrible 5 years ago.
He did, and he'll admit it, yeah. But I didn't listen back then. I started listening to Tom Woods. He was my replacement for Molly. When Molly went insane, I needed that slot filled.
Hey, well, you and I noticed that Molly went insane before other people noticed you went insane, too.
Yes, yes. Yeah, well, I my first inkling was at the Bitcoin conference in 2013 when I met him in person, and he just had this, man, well, something behind his eyes just, I mean, caught me. As this guy's formidable, and I worried that what if he used his powers for evil? So when he started saying evil things, I was like, oh, no, here it comes. Yeah. So, yeah.
You got, got a Charlie Manson vibe or something? What was that?
Yeah. Yeah, it was just something. I remember Charlie I had Manson a camera. I was trying to film Jeff Tucker's speech or something, and I pointed it. I was trying to get some crowd, you know, reactions for cutaways and stuff. So I had the camera pointed at Molly, and he immediately knew when the camera – and in I was behind him and like, to the left of him. But he immediately like sensed a camera was on him, and he just looked at me with this like icy cold intense stare.
Wow! You know, and the only person
I almost dropped the camera.
There's one person that's ever done that to me, or like I've experienced that from one person, and it was HR, the singer for the band Bad Brains. You guys know much about them?
I know Bad Brains.
Punk rock,
I know
Bad Brains. Yeah, all black.
Yeah,
band from Washington D.C. Kind of like. Sort of invented hardcore punk rock, but they were actually like jazz musicians before that. They were incredibly good musicians, and they were like, oh, punk rock, this seems neat, and they started playing it. And like,
seems
like,
neat.
Like, they were why Minor Threat started playing in a band. You know, they were very influential on a lot of people, and their singer is into a weird branch of Rasta, and Rasta's kind of weird to begin with, Rastafarian religion. Like, this guy has multiple wives in multiple cities, treats them all really badly, will do things like say to one of them, like, you know, when they're in DC, like, okay, you drive, I'm trying to do the accent. He's American. He talks like American. You know, he'd say like, okay, drive me to New York City now, you know, and like the DC wife would drive him to New York City and like stay parked
like
in the car
race.
For 6 hours while he goes upstairs and, you know, does his New York wife and then leaves. And like, he also, I knew some people that he stayed at their house and he like, ran up their phone bill to like $300, talking to his various wives all night, stole their weed, like appears on stage like with a scepter and like a king's kind of cape, those fluffy, you know, padded, I don't know what they're called. But when I saw him in DC, when they reunited, it was all original members, but it was with Mike Watt opening and, saw him in San Francisco. It's the only time I ever saw him. And He was on stage, you know, he was like, he had this charisma of like a king, and people treated him like a king, and he believed he was a king. Like, he believed he was better than other men and they should follow him. And
yeah, that's crazy.
He was gangster. And so like before he went on stage, you know, he was just like out in the crowd, like wearing, you know, a jogging outfit like Rastas often do. And I walked by him. I'd been sober for, you know, over a decade, and like, walked by him and looked him in the eye. Didn't even realize it was him until like my eye caught him for like a second. And I, it felt like it went to slow motion. It felt like something in a rock video or a movie where, like, you know, you walk by the badass gangster and like all of a sudden it goes into slow motion for about 4 steps. It was like that. And like, I didn't even know a lot of this stuff about him yet. You know, I knew he ripped off my friend, but I didn't know he had this king mentality and this king backstory and this, And he just like, I mean, it was kind of like the dream, you know, that you have when you're a kid where like, oh, you know, the little man behind, hey, I'll have to take you to the tower. Like, you know, something from Stephen King. Like, it scared the hell out of me.
Really. Wow.
That's all I could describe it.
Yeah. Just a super bad vibe. Molyneux's
got that too. And I think Molyneux would be complimented hearing you, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Seriously.
I'm sure he would.
It would
stroke the
episode.
Ego.
This is the 1,000th episode, and we're ragging on Molyneux.
We have to hit every note, right? Yeah. We have to have everything. This is a compendium.
So I just got an email from Michael Runyon, who says, I've been listening to your old band Bomb here lately. You guys were ahead of your time. I really dig it. Thank you, Michael. Yes,
we are.
Seeing that check bomb off your list now.
Yeah, playing the home version of
the bingo card.
Yeah. So, yeah, Randy, did you read my article about my friend who did the covers for the Bomb Records and did a lot of our posters, Richard Kars, who basically probably committed suicide by cop? Did you read that? I posted recently.
I think that I did.
Yeah,
but you have to remind me what was the gist of it?
The gist of it was my friend who did the art for my band Bomb about 25 years ago was in a domestic dispute, cut the girl who was my ex-girlfriend. I don't know why I even called this guy my friend. I mean, he was, I don't know, I guess because we were friends at one point, but he cut the girl on the hand. She ran out of the house, called the cops. Cops showed up. This is the cop story. You know, like, the girl was in the back of a police car at this point, so the only witness is the cop. But the cop said, the only living witness. So the cop said that he had blood on him. He came toward the cop with two knives in his hand and said, "Do it, do it." And the cop shot him. The only reason I believe that, like, I don't even want to give the cop satisfaction of, you know, this is the one time in 1,000 that it's a justified shoot. But it's everything about it sounds like my friend. Like, he once told me, if anyone ever points a gun at me, I'm going to say, go ahead and do it. And he was kind of saying it like, you know, I'm being cocky, like, let's see what the guy does. But he also just had this, like, kind of suicidal vibe. He had, when I knew him, he got a tattoo on his shoulder of a skeletal hand, like, covering his shoulder, like, touching him. It was because death's always behind you.
Michael, the reason I wasn't sure about your stories, because it reminded me of another one that was just like that in the news this last week, where the cop confronted a guy with a knife, you know, kind of like that. And the cop sensed that he wasn't going to attack him. The cop did not shoot him. And the story was about the cop being fired for not killing the guy.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
Well,
but the guy got killed anyway, because then the other cops showed up and were like, "Hey, you didn't kill this guy yet?"
Oh,
and then bam, 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 bam.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
here's what I'll say, and this is probably good for an out-of-context scene, if I can word it right. Suicide by cop, the only time the police will show up and perform the service you want.
That's a good one.
That's a bumper sticker right there.
Yep.
That's not even out of context.
That is the Fiends.
I was talking to somebody the other day, and talk about the ending the drug war and everything. And of course, the Kane scene in them came out, and they were like, "Well, what are all those police going to do when they don't have a war on drugs? What are they going to do for a living? How are they going to take care of their families?" And I'm like, whoa, Sparky, you're getting ahead of yourself. These guys got to get through the Nuremberg trials first.
Right on.
Nima invented that phrase.
Hey guys, thanks for letting me on the show tonight. I got to take off. Got to work in the morning.
Hi, Randy. Thank you so much.
Bye, Randy.
Thank
you. Worms.
Hey, I'm out of here too.
Goodbye, Lou.
Peace.
Bye, Lou. Bye, Randy.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows. My fellow sheep. Election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CATMUF. Because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom. When I'm trying to sleep.
The song my band Bomb has a line in it that I wrote. It was, I think, 1,000,000 volts to put me to sleep.
Yeah.
That's how I felt. It was around time the cops kill my friend Richard first. And I'm not blaming the cops for it. I mean, I actually looked the cop up who did it. He's a horrible man. I'm not even going to link him because I don't want him to ever see the article and like get the satisfaction of like, oh, that guy I killed, I forgot about that. There were so many of them. But, you know, so his friend thinks I did the right thing. Well, of course I did. There you go. Cops are right every time. You know, I don't even want him to think that. But, you know, it was 25 years ago. It was interesting
that his gun jammed and the news reported that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also,
you
also noted, as a reporter, you pointed out that.
Yeah.
And here's the thing was like, I actually had someone go to the library and look on microfilm and find the article. Because I've actually had the theory that he faked his death. That was kind of in the back of my head because he seemed like as someone who'd be as likely to do that as he would be to commit suicide by cop. Nah, he'd be more likely to commit suicide by cop. But, and like they interviewed a neighbor who'd been partying with him and the girl and said that like, you know, they, you know, if it wasn't now, it would have been in a month from what he'd told me. Like he was really depressed. I believe that. But they opened the article with, you know, a Jacksonville police officer shot a man to death over a domestic dispute the other day. Like,
they
used the passive tense. How would they say that now, Nima?
They would say one man is dead after an officer involved shooting. As if one didn't cause the other. The
police. They'd even be more vague. Yeah.
This
one, the headline of this one, and it's on the Fiend site right now. It'll be it's the top post right now. I don't usually blog on the Fiend site, but when it's something I've been waiting to like have for 25 years, I'll do it. So, and when you hear, if you're hearing this on the Fiends instead of live, it'll be the second to last post probably for a day or two. But the first paragraph of this article from the Jacksonville Times Union, July 2nd, 1991, is attacker with knives shot dead. Man told officer, do it, report says.
Wow.
And the first paragraph is, a Jacksonville police officer shot a man fatally yesterday after the man lunged at him with two knives and told the officer, do it, a police report says. That would never use that like active voice. You know,
right,
said.
Even in that case. Yeah.
They also reported that the cop's gun jammed and he cleared the jam and then shot the guy. They would never report that now because it makes it sound premeditated. They try to make everything sound like...
Right.
It was a split second decision. Like that made it sound like he had a couple he could have retreated is what it makes it sound like, really.
Well, it also makes him sound human, like he's infallible and not like the hand of God / the state.
Right.
Because then it says that he fired three shots until his gun jammed again. And I guess the guy was already dead. So he's like, I don't have to clear this jam. Yeah. Gotta go get some jam and donuts. and I was like, man, what kind of guns are they carrying?
It was probably
jam like that.
I mean, 91 was, you know, eight early 80s is when Glocks came out, but they weren't adopted by police. They're pretty universal. Most police agencies issue Glocks now because they are the semi-auto most likely to not jam. But speaking of jams, Jimmy Jams, but you know, a lot of places let cops still carry their own gun. You said, and I've noticed this too, some cops in Casper still carry revolvers. The ones that wear cowboy hats usually.
Right. Big leather holsters and all that kind of stuff.
That's what I have as a revolver.
Oh, really? What kind of revolver?
A Ruger 38 or 357.
Snub nose?
Both, yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
Lost it in a voting accident.
Yeah, lost it. We all lost our guns in a voting accident.
Yeah, we don't have guns anymore.
We're not going to say we have any guns. All right, so.
Oh, we're not?
No. That's how you register your guns when they're not.
Right. You can talk about the guns you used to have until you lost them in a voting accident.
Yeah.
Oh, gotcha.
Okay. Yeah, I used to have a Glock.
Yeah.
And,
all right.
Anyway.
Well,
I used to have some guns until I sold them to NEMA. How's that?
Hey.
Well, I'm going to hop off here, so I just wanted to like say that I am very honored to have been a part of the Freedom Fiends for this long, as I have, which is about 2.5 years. I started on Michael Dean After Dark as well, initially as a substitute co-host, Michael asked.
Oh, that was just my way of not committing to anything.
And I mean, and you and I had just been communicating via email, and all of a sudden you were like, hey... You know, would you be interested in doing this? And would you send me, you know, a sample of your voice and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, yeah. What? No way.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm very honored and very grateful that you asked me to be a part of all this.
I can pick
it has really, is really, like, I mean, it's meant the world to me. Honestly, thank it really you. Has. So,
I'm honored.
Yeah. It's been real fun. And I hope it lasts another 100 episodes.
Nice. Thank you, Diane.
Anyway, and I love all the themes.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Do you want to make money working at home? Join the high-stakes world of selling BIPCOT NoGov merchandise. The BIPCOT NoGovernment license is licensed under the BIPCOT NoGovernment license, which means that you can go to BIPCOT.org, download the high-res logos, and make your own BIPCOT NoGovernment merchandise to sell. The best part is you keep all the profits. And if you send a picture and mail a sample to the good people at BIPCOT.org, they might even help you promote it for free.
As long as you're not a government or a government agent and you don't advocate for any governments in any way.
Help promote liberty, make money, have fun, meet interesting people, be the envy of all your friends, be the coolest kid at FiendFest Somalia, laugh at the state while it collapses, all while making and selling your own BIPCOT.org merchandise. What will you design? Get creative. Lots of folks are doing it, but there's always room for more. There are BIPCOT t-shirts, flags, drink cozies, turntable mats, BIPstrong bracelets, BIPCOT stickers, playing cards, and even Glock pistol backplates. You might even get mentioned on the Freedom Fiends. You're still kicking yourself for missing out on the start of Bitcoin. Don't miss out on BIPCOT. Get in on the ground floor now.
Not a guarantee.
Start your new life today at BIPCOT.org. That's BIPCOT.org.
Love
bye,
you.
Worms.
Thank you for being a fiend.
Thank you for being a fiend. All right, later.
1,000. And I misheard something he said. I thought he said gnat your ear off.
Or did he say nap your ear off?
Yeah, yes, nap.
He said nap, like non-aggression principle. In other words, we just kind of live liberty instead of just talking about the theories of it all the time, which is really something that Nima Vedati and I decided and codified into this show and set it up kind of as an unbreakable rule for the most part. Like we still will talk about, you know, the ins and outs of the non-aggression principle or other aspects of liberty, but it's not dry all the time. And that's something we kind of codified, put some codfish on and tasted really good with some hot sauce. Before
the fiends, man, that was a part of Guns and Weed.
Yeah. Right. And it was also a part of this show before this show formally had a name, because this show didn't really have a solid name. It wasn't really the Freedom Fiends until episode 8. I wanted to call it Freedom
Yak. Oh, you tracked it down?
Around 7 or 8. You can tell by the file names of the first shows, because I think it changed file names. But if you listen to the first few episodes, in them we call it the Guns and Weed Podcast.
Yeah.
Until around episode 8.
And you did want to call it Anarchy Yak, or was it Yak and Bout
Freedom
Anarchy?
Yak.
Freedom Yak.
With a picture of a yak, and this is before we knew, before Nick was an ink in his daddy's eye. Well,
I mean, it was not that long ago.
It's not that young.
I know.
Nick, the 8-year-old yak 13.
Farmer. Put it down. The 8-year-old yak farmer.
He didn't have yaks. Yeah.
That makes the stories from Porkfest a whole lot worse. That changes everything.
So Steve Miller wrote something for us to read. Do you guys have the thing that he sent?
Oh, man. That was really only something that would have worked if we had everybody on.
Yeah. Stage.
Really?
I think that would be painful if it was just three people reading it.
Especially,
Steve couldn't make it on because his battery is dead for his laptop for a long time, and his adapter, his AC charger adapter thing, died tonight. So I'm going to chalk that up to it's a poor workman who blames his tools, because I pretty much have every AC adapter I've ever, for every piece of equipment I've ever owned, in a box in the basement, and they're largely interchangeable if you have the right voltage. So, yeah.
Well, with laptops, it's all about the actual end that plugs in. Those are usually different.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I have a soldering iron too. So.
That's true. Yeah. That's true.
Touche,
Steve. So we are deleting Steve's ode to Fiend Phone.
I don't know if we have to delete it. Why don't we just...
It's better than the show notes or something, or somehow,
I mean, it's not bad. It's funny.
It is.
No, I delete all the things. Shut down everything.
You just have to wait till full swarm is all I'm saying.
Yep.
Yeah. Remember when back in the day, we hated having more than just me and you on. We always thought it was a cluster F if we had a guest or two guests, God forbid. Yeah. And now you regularly have like five people on. And
there's a couple reasons. It. Well, we regularly have three or four on. It's
I've heard five, like more than
one. Yeah, it's called a super squirm when it's over four. Four is a squirm of worms, full squirm. Five or more is a super squirm. And there's a couple reasons that this show now often has more than two people. One is because of Fiend Phone, Derek Slopey's invention that allows us to talk without the cluster FE cutting each other off that Skype does.
Mm-hmm.
And
so awful.
It is awful, and with more than two people, it's bad with two people. It's worse with more, because it has this, like, basically it does what most software for the masses does, which is it decides what it should do. You don't decide it. So it decides that everybody needs some noise reduction, and you can technically turn it off. You can go into Skype and turn it off, but it doesn't really turn it off totally. But it also... Skype is not true duplex, and FiendPhone is. So two people can't talk. They sort of can. It's kind of fake duplex. Like, basically, it's one pipe in two directions, and it does a pretty good job of, Skype does, of modulating. Like, this person's talking, now this person's talking. It kind of sort of sounds like it's duplex, but it's not. And
not when it's a radio show. Like, not when it's me and you interrupting each other. And other people.
I mean, really what Skype is for using on a laptop without headphones in a noisy background. You know, it works for that. FiendPhone won't. But FiendPhone is made for using in a good sound conditioned room with a good mic and good mic technique and headphones. So that's one reason that we can have more than two on now. Another is... probably ego on my part. Like, I have less ego now. You know, before it was like, it has to be 50% me, you know, to be a good show. And like, what I finally learned was, like, it doesn't even have to be me. It can be a Fiend show and be like it can have the mood and sound quality of the Fiends without me, which I learned when I was sick. But now sometimes I just take the night off because I feel like it. But
because the Fiends has become its own thing now. It's like its own culture. It's got its like own Bitcoin. Dialect.
It's like Bitcoin. I'm Satoshi. Right. You're Satoshi. We could go away. There's another reason. Can't remember. What was it? Oh, partly. I think it's partly just like finally getting a lot more comfortable with doing podcasts and doing radio. Like, I'd done a lot by that point. You'd done a lot of talking media, but you'd mostly done talking media where you're reading from a script, and I'd mostly done... talking podcast.
Sometimes I wrote that script though. So.
Yeah, but with one other person in the room with me. But you'd never done a lot of stuff with a lot of back and forth. So
that's true.
I just got more comfortable with that to where pretty much I can do a good show with anybody on. I'm not saying the Fiends aren't important, but it doesn't matter which Fiends. Here, I will say this. I'm very picky about who I'll let be a Fiend. You know, there have been people that we've had and are not Fiends anymore.
I've wondered that. Is that just like a Michael feeling? Because you bring on new people sometimes, and they're all great. I mean, I love all the Fiends, but I wonder, because I get the sense that you just kind of get a vibe from somebody, and you're like, okay, they would work out. But do you do any kind of? I mean, Diana said you asked her for a sample of her voice.
I was.
Do you do that with other people, or do you do other things?
Well, I'm generally not in the market for any Fiends,
right? But, you know, I mean, but so when somebody comes along and it kind of hits you that, oh, okay, they'd be a good Fiend.
Yeah. Well, one thing I usually do too, and I did this with her and I do this with everybody before I even have them on as a guest, is I do a pregame talk. You know, I get them on, I kind of sound check them, I give them some audio tips about, you know, how far to be from the microphone, turn off your air conditioner or heater or whatever, you know, just get tell your roommates to quit using Netflix so they're not using.
And if they can follow directions, then they're that's the part first of
it.
Test.
If I could tell them what to do. No, if they're willing to do what it takes to be a fiend, and that's all. Yeah. Following directions is part of that. And it's not like, I am God, you must listen to me. But it's like, I can make anybody
serve the
sound
song,
pretty
man.
Good. You know,
yeah.
I can make anybody. Yeah. Serve the song. Like Tom Woods doesn't serve the song, man. He interviews different people every day. He doesn't. And I've gotten on him about this, and he's complained like, well,
he snapped back. Did you miss his snapback?
What'd he say?
I forget what it was, but he was mentioning, it was like his post show on one show, and he was mentioning the audio quality on one show got worse. He was like, oh yeah, I'm sorry. You know, halfway through it got worse.
The fiends?
He said, but I don't want to be like one of those Liberty hosts that's always harping on audio quality.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I'll stop
heard
talking
it.
About
Someone
it.
Someone sent it to me. Yeah. Well, he's basically saying, well, I don't want to be one of those people who gives a crap about things.
Here's the thing. Most of the time, 80% of the time, it's passable at least. I mean, his audio is pristine. He's got a guy that set him up. He's got an RE320 or RE20. He sounds beautiful. Some of his guests, even although it seems to be like correlated, like the more interesting the guests, the worst audio is for some reason. Like, I guess like the really astute people in academia can't afford a mic or something.
Because a lot of the like Liberty big wigs think they're so potent in what they say that they've never bothered to even care, even to get a $50 mic. You know, I could get someone sounding better than most people sound with a $20 microphone, but people aren't willing to do it. The thing about Tom Wood's guest and his, I still say he's a bad man. Because he makes these excuses about his
hosts. I don't know if he's a bad man.
He is a bad man. And he's,
he doesn't pass that one of Michael's
he's
tests.
He's
going
to go to purgatory before he goes to heaven. Because of how he lets his host be. I'll say that right now.
Man.
So,
what I was trying to say, though, is... Go ahead.
You got a minute. We got a minute. I got things.
If you have good headphones, if you've got, I wear my Zinkins, my Urban Air, here's my plug for Urban Air Zinkins, best DJ headphone you can buy for under $100. I can tell when there's bad audio quality. Okay, yeah, you're on a phone. Great. It's not great. It's usually still legible. I can usually understand what they're saying. Often,
sometimes you can't.
I want
to
hear
the thing.
It.
I'm going to jump in and interrupt you. I know where you're going, but it's like, I want to get this done, Nima. Let me finish.
Get it done.
Let me nail this.
Do it.
All right. So,
yeah.
So his hosts that are unlistenable, and he allows that
there
once
are
in
some.
A while, and he says it's not his fault. It is his fault because an unlistenable host with 5 minutes of pregame, I could make them listenable no matter what system they have, even if they're using a laptop. I did it with a guy using a laptop with no headphones once. It was Robert.
Jump
Robin
on Skype,
Turner.
Put your mouth close to the onboard mic.
Yep. Yeah. And I can do it with somebody with a crappy mic like James Weeks II. I did pre-gaming with him. The interview he did with us sounded way better than the previous interviews he'd done with other people the day before.
That's true.
It's just laziness, man.
Yes.
And you're going
guy's
to
got five
purgatory.
Kids, though, man. He's got five
care.
Daughters and a day job.
Then he needs to make them be his audio slaves.
Okay. Or his producer needs to sit in with him when he's doing the actual pre-game.
Nope. He's going to audio purgatory.
Man.
All right. Bad audio is a hate crime.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean, available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
Freedom Fiends. Yeah. Jeremy, do you have something you want to say?
Yeah, well, it is the third act, and before I let Michael take the show over again, I wanted to get my little thank you in. I even though I still am the low fiend on the totem pole as far as seniority goes, it seems like I'm always here. In the time I've been here, I've actually been very lucky. I mean, I've said it before. I was a fan for at least a year and a half before Lou asked me to come on one night with him. And, so just doing that alone was a big deal for me. And then just as luck would have it, I've just happened to be scheduled already for MK's return, then the 900th episode, then the 3-year anniversary of radio. And now the 1,000th episode. So
you think that's an accident?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. it kind of worked out pretty cool for me. So, I think I sent an email out about this, kind of saying the same thing, just saying, you know, I really appreciate everybody who came here before me and is still here now, kept this whole thing going and got me the chance to be on radio.
Nice.
I wouldn't trade that for anything at this point. So thank you guys, especially you too.
For all the Bitcoin in the world.
For all the Bitcoin. Hey, I ended up with over 3,000 BIPs, so I'm quite happy with that. Well, of course you get it.
I have the most worthless cryptocurrency. It's not the most worthless cryptocurrency, because I'd probably still take it. And, you know, there's about 300 cryptocurrencies out there that you couldn't sell. You know, I did say to you, hold on. This has been in my notes forever. We'll do it live. So Jeremy, I said to you, hold on to your Bitcoin. It'll put your kids through rehab.
I said, Michael, that's horrible. My kids will never be in rehab. They are not quitters.
Yeah,
that's pretty good. So Michael's wrong.
I was wrong.
My all-time favorite segment of the scenes, but fiends, by the way.
I can't find all my I was wrong. So I guess I'm not that wrong. I was, but
convenient.
I was wrong. Yeah. It's a meta now.
Well, I said something about
trippy man.
I said something about that. When we're talking about Blue Oyster Cult, many recent episodes. One was I said that the Don't Fear the Reaper with the YouTube cowbell mention in the title on YouTube. You know, we're talking about the More Cowbell thing. Like, there's actually the actual song, but someone said More Cowbell in the notes, if you're looking for that. I said it had 21,000 views. It had 21 million views. I just misspoke.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
21,000 isn't
not very many, no.
No, not at all.
Yeah, so I was wrong. So I want to talk really briefly about an experience I had recently of basically pitting Bitcoin against PayPal and banks. So, Bitcoin, not Bitcoin. Bitcoin, the one that's worth a lot more and really is the only cryptocurrency that I wouldn't say it's the only one worth anything, but it's really the only one that's used in commerce. I mean, someone could make an argument now, but I don't know about that. I don't know if it's being used. They've taken it on some drug site, but I don't know if the people are using it on there. So I tried to buy some Bitcoin from somebody. I had cash and I was trying to buy $150 worth of Bitcoin that I needed to pay somebody who, you know, only took Bitcoin. And it wasn't for drugs. It was for programming on Bitcoin. And I was paying this guy $300. I already paid him $150 and I needed to get $150 more and I had the cash to do it. So I said on Facebook, anybody got $150 worth of Bitcoin to sell right now who has PayPal? And it should be someone I know. So somebody tagged me with someone who was a friend of mine on Facebook, but like, I don't even know the guy. I don't know. You know, Facebook told me to add him years ago or something, but I've never talked to the guy. But a friend vouched for him and said, yeah, I know him. He drove me to Porkfest. So I said to the guy, hey, will you do it? And he said, yeah. And I said, can we do it? You know, $50, then $50, then $50. And he said, sure. Short story, because I hear the music coming in, is he had the Bitcoin within 10 minutes, and it took like 3 days for PayPal to take it out of my bank and put it in his bank and have it available for him.
Wow. So,
thanks, banks and PayPal. You're dying. Your dinosaur is thrashing in the tar pits.
Tar pits, man.
Well, I gave up on PayPal a while ago altogether, so.
I still really like it. It gets to my bank in like the next day. I don't know if it's because I have a great bank. It's USAA.
But, I think this was also because we were doing $50, you know, like maybe I thought we were structuring, like trying to move $1 million in drug money, $50 at a time or something. You know, like maybe. Anything that looks like structuring to the bots. Slow. Thank you, Spirit.